Hey, it's Monday night, Monday afternoon, Monday evening, depending on what part of the world
you're
in.
Or Tuesday afternoon.
Or it could be. You could be having lunch in Australia for all we know. But it's Voice Over Body Shop tonight. We have a great guest like we do every week. The lovely and talented Kay Bess will be with us.
Right here in the studio.
In our studio.
Woohoo!
She, you know, got on her dog sled, came through the snow, and came all the way here from Pasadena and is joining us here, and we've got a couple of great tech questions.
Oh, yes, we do. We're going to troubleshoot Chris Fries's current technical issue live on the show.
Oh, boy. With Chris, we'll find out.
He doesn't even know.
All right. Coming right up on Voice Over Body Shop.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere, together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is Voiceover Body Shop.
Voiceover Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Ants Land Productions, where you can get a killer demo. Source Elements, who bring you Source Connect, Source Connect Live, and Source Connect Now. VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop site for voiceover resources. Vizzy Demos, your audio demo never looked so good. VO2GoGo.com, announcing camera-ready you. VoiceOverView.com, your voiceover business made simple. And the VO Dojo, take your voiceover career all the way.
And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or V-O-B-S.
Woo!
All right. Welcome to another Monday night. And, well, finally, a little cooler here in Southern California.
Yeah, into the 90s.
Yeah.
How pleasant.
Exactly. But it's been kind of a scorcher. But it's nice and cool here in our studio. And
yes,
we have a really cool guest. Kay Bess is with us tonight. We're going to talk about all the cool stuff that she does.
Mm-hmm.
And how you can learn how she does what she does. But can you get as good as she is?
That's the question.
That's the question. All righty.
Good luck.
All right. And we got a couple of tech questions. Apparently, Chris Fry has some issue that he needs to deal with. Buzzing somewhere or humming.
All right. It's buzzing.
And then we'll talk with Kay, and we'll just have a great time tonight. So if you have a question for us, throw it in the chat room. And also, if you're watching the show on Facebook Live, you can also go over to our website, which is vobs.tv. And from there, you can join the actual chat room. We have two chat rooms going. There's the Facebook chat, and then we've got the chat room that we've been using for, you know, the last 6 years.
Choose your chat of choice. The one that's the vibrant one is over at vobs.tv.
Right. And of course, you can see the show there as well. So, but then you can see the chat in real time, sort of. With give or take 30 seconds. Anyway, so that's also a good idea. But if you have a question for us or for Kay Bess, all you got to do is go in the chat room and type it up. And I believe Jack Daniel will be monitoring our chat rooms tonight. Jack's there, bringing the Stella Artois, which is why the only reason we let him in here. He'll relay those questions to us. And then we can ask them of ourselves, or of Kay, or we hit Google. We're not exactly sure.
Now it's time for
and now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you live.
Alrighty, dare to step away from the mic. Like it is with tonight's multi-talented guest, Kay Bess, voice talents surge with energy and creativity. And every now and then, that creativity wants to bubble beyond the booth. So let it. A side trip on a different or parallel direction to your voiceover career can be healthy for your mind and might even expand your voiceover business.
In a new article on Voiceover Extra, Lauren Miller, a college senior at the University of Georgia and this summer a public relations intern, shares how stepping out of the booth helped three voice talents.
Look for the article titled Dare to Step Away from the Mic for details and links to videos. And for now, let's see where their creativity took these three. Let's start with Bob Hurley. I know Bob, who's also become known as award-winning Kitchen Bob. What's that all about?
A few years ago, Bob's wife passed away.
Sad.
And Bob was faced with having to cook meals for himself. Not an impossible feat, but not the easiest for some people either. So Bob's creativity took on the challenge using his voiceover and production skills. With friend Tina Babarovic, he created the Kitchen Bob video series, quickly and with quirky and informative vignettes to help other men who need help in the kitchen.
And the series became so popular and good that an episode titled Korean Delights won a Bronze Telly Award last year,
that's
among
awesome.
Others.
Wow.
Now, Bob says the awards are a personal validation that the videos are worth doing.
That's right. Next, we go back a number of years with VO Roel Gorman to the days when many of us had to yet to create a voiceover website. Yet Roel was already enhancing his with subpages of different character voices and production styles. It was an effort that won him a Carolina Silver Reel Award.
All right, Roel. And third, many of you will remember last year's VOBS guest, Kelly Buttrick, and how she gave the Jeep marketing people a spin with a series of more than 35 videos promoting herself as a potential VO for Jeep. And the end result?
Kelly ended the campaign earlier this year, still hopeful of VO jobs with Jeep, but also with four Telly Awards for the campaign and huge exposure to the ad and marketing professionals who judge the Tellys.
Wow, she did a great job with that. So, if you've got ideas that will take you beyond the mic, go for it. They could eventually lead to more voiceover work and, at your very least, satisfying your creative impulses.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success. Gee, that's something you and I do. We make videos.
We do.
Like, we do it every Monday night.
We do, and it's not like we're doing it to land gigs hosting shows. We're doing it because it bolsters our energy, our exposure, our energy level, and just our, you know, it just, and it's a heck of a lot of fun.
Well, if it wasn't fun, why would we do it?
We would not be doing it.
Absolutely. What's going on in the tech world?
Well, I was looking around for something interesting. This one's definitely outside the norm for us, but I looked over at one of my favorite websites, ProToolsExpert.com, and found an article by Russ Hughes, and it's called How Bullshit Took Over the Recording Industry and Why Critical Thinking Matters. Go check it out. It is a long article. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I checked out a couple excerpts. And there's a section in here, and it's the part about why critical thinking matters. And here's what he has to say. I want to suggest that there has never been a more important time for our industry to encourage critical thinking. However, let us first define what we mean by the term critical thinking. An official definition of critical thinking is the practice of asking questions to discover answers about a subject. It can and often involves discourse about an issue with people who have a common interest in advancing the topic. The problem is, does this sound familiar yet?
Yeah, constantly.
The problem is that our current forum, and he's talking about their forum specifically,
the social media,
but this applies to all forums in our world. The blog and social media culture has cultivated many more cynics and fewer skeptics. In doing so, many have made the task of encouraging critical thinking a great deal harder. You know, so a cynic is motivated by a desire to bring negative points a view to debates, and often the debate is the last thing on their mind. They have little interest in getting to the truth or discussing reasonably. They just want to do all they can to express their negative point of view.
It's all cheerleading, essentially.
I know. And discredit anything or anyone who doesn't happen to agree with them and their particular worldview. On the other hand, a skeptic, this is the healthier thing, a skeptic Healthy skepticism brings a healthy sense of questioning rather than make statements. Who will often see them asking questions and encouraging debate. They use words like how, who, what, where, when, why, and how again, all leading questions with the desire to find out more. In my opinion, those who ask questions, and this is holds true for me as well, those who ask questions are far more interesting than those who make statements. Who on the whole are boring and about as useful to a conversation as the automated announcements in a train station or an airport.
Next stop is Bushwick.
Exactly. So the final word from the article is, wisdom isn't knowing all the answers. It's knowing you don't have all the answers. Was that Plato that said that? I'm trying to remember what
Plato, Socrates. Said.
Yeah, but it is so true. And when I see people chiming in on Facebook groups about this microphone, that microphone, this interface, or you have this booth, so that microphone's not going to work. You know, people are so quick to jump in there and get, they just want to be heard, and they just want to get into the fray and spew their knowledge bomb on the rest of us.
Because they can.
Because they can. And I just go in there and I say, whoa, wait a minute. We didn't ask a lot of important questions here. You know, we need to know this and this and this before we can start assuming all these other things, you know? So,
yeah.
I just thought it was cogent because we're always talking about the whole, you know, getting tech support by committee.
Committee, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And just be careful because that's the kind of things you're going to run into.
Right.
Know? Very opinionated people.
Yeah. Don't group source your home studio.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
That's the way you usually
that.
Put it.
Yeah.
All righty. Kay Bess is our guest tonight. We'll be talking to her in just a couple of minutes, but we have tech questions. That's why we're here, kids. All righty. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
What do your target clients see when they listen to your audio-only voice demo? Your clients are creating visual content. They live in a visual world. They think visually. To make a strong impression, your voice demo needs to meet them where they live. Now, your voice demo can make a strong visual impression when it's a Vizzy visual voice demo. A Vizzy demo takes your audio-only voice demo and adds a visual component, making it instantly more memorable to your prospective clients. The audio track of a Vizzy demo demonstrates your voice work like only your voice demo can, while the video track tells your story, reinforces your brand, and delivers the call to action that an audio-only voice demo simply cannot. You went to all the trouble to have your voice demo showcase your work. Now, go all the way and showcase your brand, too. Book your Vizzy visual voice demo at VizzyDemos.com.
Do your thing.
All right. Always wanted to give VoiceOver a go, but don't know where to jump in? Well, this is not the right copy. You know, it's like a boxer going into full training for a bout in Vegas. The dojo is a full-hearted, pull-no-punches complete training program designed to guide, support, connect, and accelerate you every step of the way from I don't know to working pro. Making sure that you're aligned with the power and possibilities of your voice on the most streamlined and focused path to having everything you need to have the sustained, successful voiceover career you know you should have. Well, wherever you are in your voice journey, take your voiceover career all the way. And on Wednesdays, they have a monthly Ask the Sensei webinar, the first Wednesday of every month at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So what's stopping you? What do you need to do next? What do you need to help with? What do you don't know? What and you don't know what you don't know.
That's true.
Absolutely. Our team of Sensei master teachers who are working pros who know the business inside and out because they have been in the trenches, just like you, are assembled to give you answers, new ways of thinking through, and the insight and inspiration to get you to what is next. It's always just you, but never do it alone. Sign up now at thevodojo.com. That's www.thevodojo.com. We look forward to hearing your voice.
VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on VOBS.us.
This is John Bailey, the Epic Voice, and you're watching VOBS.tv, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland.
They are ribbed for her pleasure.
Mm. And we're back. I think we need to...
That bumper just keeps ending up in the show. I don't know how.
Get the bulk eraser. And...
John's here in town now. Now we have to make him live up to that one.
That's true.
Re-record it.
I know. And he's got a beautiful studio he's working on. So, anyhow, this is our favorite part of the show, aside from the fabulous guests we have, and that is taking your tech questions on VoiceOver Studio Tech. Mm-hmm. And you guys come up with all sorts of stuff. First one here is this. I was always a Pro Tools guy being an engineer in Nashville, but I am loving Adobe Audition and the noise removal plugins and auto heal. I'm running Windows 7 on a PC. Are there hotkeys or shortcut keys built in, or do I need to set these myself, and how difficult is that? Well, in Adobe Audition, it's very, very simple. You just go into, I have to look at it, but there's an edit.
It's in the edit menu.
In the edit menu, you go down and it says... Keystrokes or
keyboard shortcuts. Shortcuts.
Yeah. And you go in there and you can assign any key you want to any function that is in Adobe Audition. For example, I auto heal, I just have an A. Mm-hmm. For silence, I have an S.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be control or command or anything. It can just be a single letter on the keyboard that you want to use.
Yeah, Adobe Audition is fabulous for that. Of course, in Pro Tools, you get that keyboard overlay. It's like this whole control panel for it.
They have keyboard shortcuts in Pro Tools, but they're fixed. You can't customize them directly in Pro Tools. So what you can do is in Audition, reprogram. If you knew all the ones from Pro Tools and they're like in your fingertips, they're in your memory, like muscle memory, you can reprogram the Audition keystrokes to match the way they work on Pro Tools, which... it can be really, really helpful. It means that if anybody else uses your system, they're out of luck.
Right.
But it's your system. You do whatever you want. It's up to you. Another thing that blows Pro Tools away, as far as I'm concerned, is the favorites function Audition. So not only can you make one function be a keyboard shortcut, you can make a series of functions.
Like a stack.
It's like almost like a stack where you can have it normalize, then do this, then do this, then trim off this, and
with
you can have
one keystroke.
With one keystroke, it'll do a whole bunch of stuff, and you can't do that in Pro Tools. It just blows it away in terms of speed of productivity. You know, I know people that are really awesome on Pro Tools and editing; they fly on the thing, and if you throw them on anything else, they don't move as quickly. But that's just because they haven't learned it yet.
Right.
You know, I think if they were to adopt to using tools like Audition, they'd get fast pretty quick.
Yeah. And that question is from Richard Harris.
Thanks, Richard.
Who I was amazed was still alive.
Fantastic.
I'm going to build... He also asks, I'm going to build a baffled ventilation system for my new booth that I'm building. How much noise should I expect to allow into the booth?
Part two.
Zero.
I'm going to build a baffled... how much noise should I expect it to allow into the booth?
Yeah.
It just depends on how you build it.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, there's lots of ways to do it. I mean, there was my famous example of taking an HP printer box and putting like ceiling tile in it and then lining it with Oralex. Worked fabulous.
Well, that worked well because it was in your attic.
Yes.
So you had the ceiling between that and the room.
Right.
If you were to put that thing just in your booth or like in the room, you'd still hear the fan from that thing running away
but
inside.
But it was the exhaust.
Right.
So it wasn't an airtight room, so it just was able to go through.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on how you build it. There are numerous examples online on how to build a baffling system. I'm in the middle of drawing a couple of them right now for people. It's basically a big muffler. It's a big wooden box with a bunch of fins inside. Everything's coated in acoustic foam, so the air that travels through is slowed down. And any sound that sneaks in through one end is attenuated dramatically by the time it makes it out the other end. So... should be very, very little sound coming in through that at all.
Alrighty.
More likely it'll come through your door than it will come through
there. Yes, absolutely. Next question. Hi, guys. First, love your show, and thanks for doing it. Well, thank you. I'm a voice artist studying with Terry Daniels. Hi, Terry. My friend and I are working on a podcast audio drama and want to monitor each other in real-time audio and video. He lives in Seattle, and I'm in Sacramento. How can we do this reliably, and will it cost a fortune? Thanks for any input you can give. So real-time communicate. If you're in different places, just do it on Zoom or Skype and record each of yourselves at your own end and then just combine them.
Yeah, you do what's called a double system record. So you're each recording on each end. And that way you want to capture the highest quality audio. That's probably going to be the easiest way to do it.
Right.
You know, and just line up the two audio files in your DAW in your digital workstation and, you know, start off the show with start off the interview with a slate, literally a clapper going like that, and make clap so you have a spike in the audio so you can line up the two files. And then once they're lined up, save it, lock it down, and then you can start chopping it up the way that you want to.
We've done a bunch of podcasts where that's what they did. You know, they record, we recorded on our end, they recorded on our end and their end, and we said, here, here's the file, and off it went.
Yeah, Zoom or Skype, any of these things, because you're not, the video isn't the thing here, right? This is, you're producing a podcast, so you don't care if the audio or the video quality, I'm sorry, is really of high quality. But, you know, when you talk about real time, any of these things are going to have some latency. They're not going to be like, you know, absolutely real time. There'll be a little delay, but it should be less than a second. It should be enough that with some practice, you can learn how to react to each other in real time and make it feel like you're in the same room together.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Not hard to do.
No, I mean, listen to all those interviews that you hear on like This American Life. I'm thinking more of like Terry Gross, Fresh Air.
Oh, Fresh Air, yeah.
And a lot of the times she's in the studio in Philly and the guest is here in L.A.
Or in Maui.
Or wherever they are, and they're on ISDN.
Right.
And, you know, they, some of them are very used to that, and they make it sound seamless. You'd never know they're in two different places.
Absolutely.
Just take some practice.
Yeah, not hard to do. Okay, our good friend, voice actor extraordinaire and former prison guard, Chris Fries, got a new Yamaha studio monitors, MSP5s.
I think that's what they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And they're buzzing.
They are buzzing.
So George is now checking his texts to see if we can troubleshoot this.
Did he send me a new text about it? We've been texting back and forth about it all afternoon. I asked him if we could talk about it on the show. Actually, I didn't even ask him. I just said, I'm going to talk about it on the show.
Tough,
and
Chris.
His reaction was, ha, ha, ha. Yeah. So I guess that's a good thing. It's a good laugh. But the buzz, I don't know if it'll read over the monitors here, but it sounds something like, and it's buffering. Buffering.
Buffering.
Buffering.
Buffering.
Buffering.
Buffering.
I thought I had good signal.
There we go.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty awful.
But that's,
it's not just a regular, that's not your run-of-the-mill ground hum or something.
That's something digital.
Yes.
That's something coming from his iPhone or some sort of interference, loose cable perhaps.
It's possible. He
not a ground loop.
So the whole picture here is he had some other monitors made by Focal before, but they were kind of prosumer-y consumer monitors. They didn't have balanced inputs. All they had on them were the little RCA-style jacks like you have on a CD player or a record player. And with that, not a single buzz, no weird noise, no, nothing, no hum, nothing. So with the new monitors, we went with proper balanced cables. There's what's called TRS quarter-inch cables going from his monitor controller. It's a Presonus monitor station to the speakers. Everything's done what you would think would be the right way, but that's what he's getting as a result. So it's interesting that now we're using grounded connections. Now he's getting the interference. You would think the reverse would be the case.
Right. But if he's using a separate unit to drive the monitors, doesn't his Apollo Twin drive monitors?
It does. It does. Someday, Chris, next time I'm there, we might be able to simplify the studio and remove the Presonus. The reason he has it is he wanted to have an easy talkback solution.
Ah.
And that thing has a push-to-talk button right on it. It feeds back to the board, and it's something he does use from time to time.
I'm betting that's what it is.
Well, yeah, it's somewhere in that signal chain. So there is something feeding audio. The weirdness of the sound, the way it was rhythmic and clicking, that sounds like it's originating from the Mac. Or from some computer.
Right.
That's where it sounds like it's coming from. And Chris, I happen to know that your unit has three inputs that can be disabled and enabled. There's little push buttons. And disable and re-enable each of those inputs on the monitor station until the buzz goes away so we can isolate which device is the source of the noise. I think it's the Mac headphone jack that's causing it. I'm trying
to
remember. I don't have every studio memorized, but I think there's a headphone jack cable running from the Mac into the Presonus, and that could be the culprit in this case. I think.
Yeah.
Start there.
Try to memorize 150 studios.
Try 1,500.
All right. I'm almost there. I'm catching up to you. Anyway.
I go to Chris's every 3 months. So it's his a little bit easier to remember.
And usually when we go over to somebody's place, it's like ripping out all the cables and like, why are you using this? Why are you using that?
That's my favorite thing to do.
Rip out cables. Anyway.
And then leaving.
Yes.
And then going, ha ha ha, good luck.
No. We love our job. Anyway, if you've got a technical issue, of course, you can write to us here at theguys@vobs.tv.
To answer it here on the show.
To answer right here on the show. But both of us are also available through our various companies for coming out to your house or getting out with you on Zoom and helping you with any particular problems or helping you design and build your system. If they want to talk to you...
They go to Edge Studio Tech. There's two ways, but the fastest way is edgestudiotechnology.com. That takes you right to me. There's a button at the top that says Get George. Just click that.
All right. And if you need to talk to me, go to homevoiceoverstudio.com and click on either the contact button or drop a sample of your audio in the specimen collection cup, which will go directly to me. All righty. Kay Bess is waiting patiently to talk to us here on our fabulous voiceover body shop set, and we will be talking to her in just a minute. So don't go away. More fun to come.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Hey everybody, I'm here to tell you about our wonderful sponsors, Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, and many other amazing products like Source Nexus, Source Live, and now VISDN or VISDN, the ability to connect your old school hardware ISDN codecs made by Musicam and Telos, whatever, directly to the internet and actually have real SPIDs that anybody can dial and you can dial out through. It's amazing technology. And if you're a voice actor who's being crippled or feels your career is in danger because you're not actually able to use actual ISDN equipment in your studio, this could be something for you. Those of you who are not in areas where ISDN is available or the middle of the country or even the coast now where ISDN services have gotten exorbitantly expensive, this could be an alternative for you that makes sense. To get information about it, I recommend that you send an email in because it's so new. They're collecting names to see how much interest there is to build out the system. But it is a real thing. It's real, really works, and it requires software and hardware to do it. The best way to find out more would be to send an email to support@source-elements.com and tell them you're looking for VISDN so they can get you set up and get you the information you need. And just check out Source Elements for any other products, source-elements.com. Sign up for a 15-day free trial of Source Connect anytime. Give it a shot. You don't even have to have a USB key. We'll be right back here with Dan and Kay sitting right over there.
All right, it's VOBS.tv.
Yeah, it is.
Alrighty. Just let me know when you're ready.
We're rolling.
Before time began, there was VOBS.tv. Watch or else. Harry.
You're watching VOBS.tv. I don't know why. It's crazy what they...
Alrighty. Well, it's time to introduce our guest. You know, we need a band.
Somebody
could do a musical intro for our guest. Anyway, Kay Bess is our guest tonight, and her creative interests are varied. Kay's primary focus has been voiceover. She's been heard on hundreds of TV and radio commercials, including Motel 6, Intuit, Hidden Valley Ranch, Kaiser Permanente, Apple Computers, Jergens, Toyota, Hyundai. Did I say Hyundai right?
Hyundai.
That's why I didn't buy one. Big O Tires, Oster Small Appliances, Curves Fitness, Sears Optical, and Southern California Edison. She's done promos for CNN, ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, Comedy Central, the Disney Channel, and CTV News in Canada, eh? She has narrated documentaries airing on HGTV, the Discovery Channel, WE Women's Entertainment, the Learning Channel, and can be still heard on one of my favorite programs, as the voice of the Property Brothers TV. She's been doing that for 4 seasons. Wow. Welcome to the show,
Kay
Bess. You've been waiting here so patiently.
It's been fabulous, though, to listen in.
Okay. Well, it's fun to do what we do, but it's more fun having the great guests that we do. So, sounds like you're pretty successful. You know, you're making a living.
I'm making a living. I've had a career.
That's good.
Yeah.
How did you get started in doing voiceover?
Wow. Let's see. I came to Los Angeles 30 years ago to go to school in the Bachelor of Fine Arts program in acting at USC.
Okay.
I left in the middle of my junior year, which is a long and complicated story.
We don't
story.
Need to cover that. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I lost my mind is the short version, right?
College can do that, yeah. Especially high-end colleges.
Yeah, exactly. And somewhere in there, probably within the next 6 months, I was looking through Dramalog magazine, and I found a class, a one-day workshop for voiceover, which back in the day, there were no classes, people didn't teach. Now we have so many resources. But then it was quite unusual. So I took it. There was a casting director there by the name of Donna Ross, and she recorded us on reel to reel. She took that home. She called me the following Monday and said, I think you'd be good at this. And she pointed me to a class at Voice Tracks West, where Tom Pinto was the owner at the time.
Yeah.
And I took a class from him. He said, you should make a demo. I made a demo with Tom. I submitted it to 3 agents, and William Morris called. And I know, right? It was crazy. And I didn't know anything. I'd heard of William Morris, but I didn't really know what I was doing. It was just like, okay, I'll send it to those guys. So Nina Niesenholz was the head of the department at the time, and she signed me. And maybe a month later, I had my first radio job, and I have been working ever since. I mean, it's ups and downs.
Well, yeah.
It's the nature of the beast, but that's how it worked. It's a little bit storybook in that regard. It really, you know, one door open, the next, yeah. I was working. And
What do you think was your big break? What was it? I mean, aside from landing an agent, what was it that got everybody interested in putting you as one of the prime people that they would go to for certain things?
You know, I think I came along at a time when a more laid back kind of natural read was just coming into vogue. I think people were coming out of a more sort of formal sounding,
oh, yeah.
or more Procter and Gamble, if you
right.
will.
I was trained by the last great generation of, you know, of radio announcers.
Yeah, yeah.
Hard to beat out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Stop it.
So I just was very natural, right? I didn't study voiceover at all, except for that one little class. And so I think I came along at a time when the sound of my voice, the laid-back nature of my delivery was just starting to come into vogue, and it worked. I don't think it's left. I don't
no,
think
it hasn't
style
gone anywhere,
it hasn't
trust
left.
Me.
So, and there are, you know, there are variations in that theme, right? But
right.
it's never left. So I think that was a right place, right time
yeah.
kind of a thing.
So you've done a lot of, we're listing some of the things you've done here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of, those are a lot of great clients. And
yes.
certainly does look good on one's website.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it covers a long span of time.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
And there's a lot more work than that, too.
I would imagine.
But still, yeah. I mean, I've had some great, great jobs. Great jobs.
Yeah. And it pays well. And
yeah.
it's fun because you get to work with great, talented people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you fortunately had the fortune to be here in Los Angeles
yes.
when all this was going on.
And, yes.
And at a time when, if you were doing voiceover, you went into other people's studios.
Oh, yes.
And you weren't recording at home
No.
at all.
No.
So.
No.
when things started to make that transition from the big studios to everybody being able to audition,
yes,
say about 2004, 2005,
yes,
how did that affect your career and what did you do to change?
Oh, it did. It absolutely did. I think you always have to do your best to keep up with trends and be really vigilant about it. I know a lot of people who grew up in voiceover at the same time I did, and they don't work anymore because they decided that they didn't want to go from reel-to-reel to cassette.
Right.
Or they didn't want to go from cassette to CD, or they didn't want to get a website,
right?
Or
right.
They didn't want to make an MP3 available, you know, anywhere, right? And they don't work anymore. So
oops.
I think, yeah, oops. So I stayed with it. I mean, I just kept I was an asker of questions, right? What's happening next? What are people doing? I think I'll do that too. So I for sure did that, but it did. The nature of voiceover, copy being available to everybody across the country, and everybody being able to have a very good studio in their home anywhere in the country, totally changed the landscape. And, I started to diversify, you know, and I would say the best example of that would be that probably 3 years ago, I decided I wanted to try my hand at animation and gaming,
mm-hmm,
the two areas that I really hadn't focused on at all.
It's the biggest growth area in the business. I mean, it's outpacing the movie industry here
absolutely
in California.
Gaming, for sure. It's monstrous. Absolutely. So as a good client of my agency, I am always asking for feedback. Am I competitive? You know, is this good? Well, how can I improve? And I got some really good feedback from both my agents and some casting directors, which led me to think, you know, it's been a long time since I've taken an acting class, and that those are the skills that are necessary. And so I went back to acting school, and I auditioned for and signed up for a 2-year acting program in Meisner Technique out at the Ruskin Theater. And probably 3 months into that, I started booking video games. And that was probably 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've booked, I want to say maybe 10.
Wow.
And so that, I feel like, is just a prime example of how important it is to keep setting your sights on different goals and diversifying, you know. Constantly learning, doing something new.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think allowed you to really break into the video game stuff? I mean, what is your competitive point of difference, as the marketing people like to say?
Oh, I think I cultivated my acting skills, and I do. I think that's what makes the difference.
Yeah.
I think I have been so accustomed to, as a promo announcer and a commercial actor, it's really the focus is often on the sound of your voice or the sound of a particular read. And in fact, the relationship of your voice to the microphone even, right? And with video games, you let the engineer do that, you know, I mean, which you do anyway. Right. But
you're communicating with the guy playing the game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So learning to be engaged as the character, using your imagination to imagine the characters that you're interacting with, because you're alone in a studio for 4 hours recording. But acting skills, absolutely, 100% acting skills.
Yeah. And being able to take direction.
Absolutely.
Because there are some great video game directors.
You know, there are.
We've had Andrea Toyas on.
Toyas,
yes,
she absolutely.
She was fabulous.
Amanda Wyatt is another one who you should have on. She's
Let's book her.
Book her. Yeah.
Writing it down.
She's great.
Write that down. So,
And
so you said you've done about 10 video games.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to get into video games.
Yeah.
But it's hard work.
Yeah.
I mean, the sessions are hard.
They are.
You know, especially grunting, screaming, dying,
that
sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, but it's great
how
characters.
How many ways can you die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you actually play any of the games?
I haven't. My daughter has, though.
Yeah.
I'm too busy cooking dinner.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
otherwise
a good excuse.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That works. You know, because one of the things I always ask, you know, when you see these, is like, you've got to be a gamer to be able to understand this. And I don't buy that anymore. Especially,
no, I don't think that's true. The first role that I booked was for Lara Croft, Rise of the Tomb Raider, and mm-hmm. I booked her nemesis, Anna. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even in the game. I'm not in the game itself. I'm in all the cutscenes.
Right.
So I don't. My character has nothing to do with what is in the playing of the game.
Right.
But it carries the story along. It's a, you know, she's a prominent character. So it was like, well, do I really have to know how to play the game in order to play that role? No. I just have to know how to be sneaky.
Yeah.
That's what I needed.
You have to do what we all do every day, and that's audition.
Yes.
How do you approach an audition? I mean, you get the script, and what's your process?
Well, it depends upon the copy.
Of course.
Right?
Right.
There are some pieces of copy. This is really bad. I shouldn't even be telling you this, but I
no, there's, it's no, okay. Please. Everything is legit on our show.
Do as she says, not as she does.
Right, exactly.
Yes, exactly. There's some pieces of copy that I have done so many, you know, that I don't think about them. I see it's a piece, it's a tag for, you know, NBC News, and I read it. And I don't really prepare. I get a cup of coffee. That's pretty much what I need in the morning to be able to audition.
Right.
But when it comes to animation and gaming, those, because I'm really so new to it, I really delve into those. And I try to, you know, with video games, you don't get a lot of information. You don't know the name of the game. The name of the character that you're given isn't the real name of the character. And the lines are out of context.
Right.
Do you get an image of who the character you're playing is?
Yes, you often
you get
like an
static
image. Yes.
Rent relief or whatever?
Yes, yes. You often do, yeah. But you kind of have to be willing to just make choices of your own and make them strong. And so I try to create the scenario in my head. If there are a bunch of call-out lines like I'm in battle... you know, that's the scenario I imagined for myself. I had an example a couple weeks ago where I booked a game and I went in and she played me my audition and I said, is that what you're after? Like what I did? And she said, actually, no, that's not, we are going to go a different direction. And I said, oh, that's interesting that you picked me, you know, right. But we're going in a different direction. And she said, I picked you because you made strong choices. So we can never second guess what the circumstance is in the game that we're playing, right?
Right.
So pick one. Pick a circumstance and just do it. Just go there. So that was a huge lesson to me. Like, oh, good. It really is true that a strong choice is better than, well, I'm not really quite sure if I, so you sort of half-ass this or half-ass that. It's
right.
Like, no, just
fully
just
commit.
Make, fully right. commit. Make a choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And not have any fear.
Right.
And that's a tough one. I think a lot of people have a problem. You know, it's like, I don't want to make a mistake as opposed to just do it. You know? I mean, just, you know, you've got the copy there. Go, just.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I know people that are like, you know, just throw it away and they book it. Like, well, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
I think when I started, you know, my intention was to be an on-camera actor, an on-stage actor. And I was always very anxious and nervous and like, oh, just uncomfortable in my own skin. And when I started doing voiceover, I thought, wow, I think this is where I belong because it felt so natural to me. And I wasn't anxious about the choices I made. I could read a piece of copy and then let go of it. Just let it go and go about my day, you know? And I think that has a lot to do with my brand of success, that I there's no desperation in my reads, you know? There isn't. I read it. I'm confident in my ability, and right. I'm either right for the job or I'm not.
Right.
And we move on.
Right. Knowing it's totally out of your hands.
Right. Completely.
It's totally.
Yeah.
You just don't know. They don't, and they don't know.
They don't know
whether they want you until they hear you.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's totally out of your
mind. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And we know there's jobs for everybody.
Yes.
If you're good enough.
And if you hang in.
Right.
You know, I think you got to hang in and know too that when you're auditioning, I always think to myself, I'm auditioning for the next job. when I'm reading this copy, I'm really auditioning for the next. Because it takes quite a lot to be the person that's chosen, right, for the job. But there are 2, 3, 4 people right behind the chosen, you know, who are fabulous and actually who could totally do the job. And if I wasn't available, would do the job.
Yeah.
And so if I'm the second in line.
I was going to say, if it's the reverse situation.
They may say, oh, I remember you. And that was, you were great on that. We cast so-and-so, but I remember you for this part here, you know. So I think we're always auditioning for the next job. And we're always giving casting directors a heads up about who we are and that we're here, we exist, and we're coming. You know, we're in the game. Yeah. So,
is there any other area of voiceover you'd like to examine, or you, do you think you've done it all? There's probably something new coming along, and
Who knows? Who knows what might be invented? But I feel really lucky. I feel like I've done. I've done promo, and I've done commercial, and I've done live announcing, and you
continue to do all those different things.
Yeah, I do. I do. Indeed. And so I do, you know, I haven't yet booked an animated series, but it's coming. I don't know how long, but I'm starting to get callbacks and.
Excellent.
Yeah. So those are all important steps, you know, so. But I love it. I love being behind a microphone, and I'd love to do a singing role sometime in something animated.
Did you any training in singing?
I do. I mean, I started as a singer. So that's. And I haven't sung in a really long time. But
That training can help in voiceover as well.
Absolutely.
Just breath control and those
breath control things. Was always comfortable in front of a microphone. That was never foreign to me. You know.
That's cool.
That
was when training, taking voice lessons, when they start talking about, well, your voice is out here. I'm like, no, it's not where it is. I didn't quite follow that. So what are you going to do?
Find a different teacher.
Yes. Let's see here. You're coaching now, too?
I do. I do coach. Yes.
And how many students do you have, and how do you do it?
You know what? I coach privately, and so I'll just have a handful of students for varying periods of time, and I generally coach via Skype, and I have worked with people who've never done voiceover. Mm-hmm. I have worked with people who work all the time in voiceover, and I work sometimes with very specific pieces of copy. And I work with people who just want to know if voiceover is something they want to do. And I, you know, you can get a pretty good feel pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I teach commercial and I teach promo.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while I will do a narration workshop with Pat Fraley. I teach a little bit of narration with him. I don't teach any animation or gaming yet. I still feel like I'm still learning so much myself. And while I certainly, you know, if somebody asked for a tip, I'd certainly be able to help them. But
that's why you're here.
But I feel like I'm really still a student of it myself. While I really start to sink into those areas. But but commercial and promo are probably that's the focus. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now you're also doing something that George and I have been doing for the last 6 years.
Yes.
Not on camera, although maybe now you'll consider doing it on camera.
Boy, it's quite technical here, I have to say. I'm quite impressed.
It's just my office, but you know. But you're doing a podcast.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
I do a podcast called The Beehive, Women in Voiceover. And I interview women in voiceover. And right? Catchy. And I really, I interview people that it's funny, voiceover is an interesting thing in that we know each other, right?
Yeah.
It's a small community group of people. So even if you're really, well known in the circle, of voiceover actors, we're not really stars, you know, we can go to the grocery store, you know, and not be discovered and all of that.
There's no such thing as a voiceover A-lister.
Right.
You know, we're...
Except inside, right?
Right.
Inside the world of voiceover,
right.
I think there are.
Right.
You know? So I occasionally have on, you know, like Jennifer Hale was on last week,
mm-hmm.
and she's huge in gaming. Just huge. But most of the people I have on are longtime working women whose names you wouldn't know, but truly you would know their voices. If they're in the grocery store, they're on your television, they're voicing characters of your favorite cartoons.
Right.
And so we get to talk about, we talk a little bit about voiceover, but we mostly talk about life.
You're right.
Yeah.
So what... So. What are the challenges? And I hate to go there after a couple of weeks ago, but what are some of the challenges that women really face in the voiceover business? Because, you know, I've interviewed a lot of women in voiceover who are very successful, but did you have to overcome stuff that other people, like men, didn't have to deal with? What were some of your challenges, and what are you finding are some of the challenges of your guests?
Well, I think I've never... As a female, I've never looked at, I feel like my career I've been very fortunate. There's sort of the larger picture of overcoming, which is that the vast majority of work is for men. And so that's kind of a constant thing that it's not a part of my daily life. It's not like I sit and think, how much copy are all the men getting? And I've only got four pieces of copy here. That's not how it is. But when you look at the larger picture and you listen to radio, to television, to animated characters in video games, the vast majority of the work is by men. That said, there's so much more work out there. All these cable stations, all these shows, there's a lot of work and there are women working. 100%, right? That's totally true. So that obstacle, that sort of, I just think it's just in the culture. I just think it's a part of our world. And I have chosen to not see it as an obstacle. I go for the work that's there. And I look for the doors that are opened, you know, and I applaud those women who are trying to bang down other doors. I'm the girl who's like trying to find my door to go through.
Right.
But I think that we face, I think, the typical challenges of, you know, raising our children, sort of being primary caregivers. I know there are men who are primary caregivers as well. I think by and large, women still are. So, so that's certainly an obstacle. Trying to balance that whole, work and home life, and if you've got kids, and who's taking them to school, and what time is pickup, and do they have soccer practice, and blah blah blah, you know, all that kind of stuff. Who's cooking dinner? Who's doing the grocery shopping? Who's doing the laundry? Blah blah, all that too. Otherwise, the challenges and obstacles, I think, are just those of the human condition, and they're faced by men and women, and. And that's ultimately what we end up talking about, because I think that my most pivotal question in the podcast is always, what obstacles have you overcome? And people are so forthright. I love them for this. I love that they share these kinds of things like, you know, breast cancer, postpartum depression, relationship issues, difficulty with children, problems with their parents, you know, how their dreams were shaped by you know, how their parental relationship was formed, you know, how all that stuff, all these human condition kinds of things. And the podcast always takes a very interesting turn there, I think. It just becomes really.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys don't talk
about
that,
right?
Stuff.
I know. Right?
You know, relationships.
Sometimes, right? I know. Sometimes we drink wine while we're podcasting, and then things really get interesting.
I'm sure.
Sometimes
it does.
We drink as well.
Is it still cold there, Jack? Speaking of Jack Daniel, we're monitoring our chat room. If you've got a question for Kay Bess, put it in the chat room. I'm sure. Have we gotten any so far, Jack?
Yes, we have.
Outstanding. Well,
right,
we're gonna take a look at some of those questions and put them in there. And we'll be talking a little bit more with Kay Bess right after this message. So stay where you are.
Here's for you. Do you know what your audition to booking ratio is? As in, how many auditions does it take before you book a job? How about your pipeline? Do you know which jobs you've booked? Which ones you've sent to the client for approvals? How about which ones you've invoiced but haven't been paid yet? Do you know how much you booked this month compared to last month or last year at the same time? Yeah, these questions might make your head spin. You might say, I'm a voice actor, an artist. I don't have a head for business, and I don't want to spend a bunch of time trying to figure out how to keep track of auditions, bookings, who hasn't paid me yet, and when was the last time I booked with that guy anyway? That's why we built VoiceOverview.com, a simple way to track, manage, and grow your voiceover business. Because after all, it is a business. VoiceOverview was built by voice actors for voice actors. Check it out today and start tracking your voiceover business. VoiceOverview.com, your voiceover business made simple.
You know, VoiceOver Essentials get professional recording studio sound at home or when traveling with our fourth generation Port-A-Booth Pro. It's the affordable, space-efficient, portable alternative to an expensive human-sized vocal booth. Here are some of the features of the Port-A-Booth Pro. The unique Sonic Stage auditorium design. Just 7 pounds, but a rugged 600 denier fabric construction. A heavy-duty travel bag with exterior storage pocket and padded shoulder strap. A professional recording studio, Orlex Studio Foam covers all the interior surfaces. Two-way zippered bottom and rear slots for shotgun mics, cables, and boom arms. Anti-sway strap and booth lifter for boom arm mounting. A pre-slit bottom foam provides for a solid base for a desktop mic stand. Articulated script clip LED light with two mounting pouches. Four digital corner straps for rigidity. Those help a lot. Assembles in just seconds with two zippers. Fleece audio hood for extra noisy environments. And all of that stuff that you can get with a Port-A-Booth Pro. And as you can see, it's easy to carry around. As I like to say, if you're traveling with it, you can also double as your suitcase. But you can see here, reporters are using it. There's Harlan Hogan actually talking into his actual Port-A-Booth Pro. So the great thing about it is you get an affordable studio that is great on the road, can help you in marginal situations at home, and it's just $349 at voiceoveressentials.com. So if you go over to voiceoveressentials.com, you can get free 2-day shipping by Amazon. You can get it as, so if you know you're going on the road in a couple of days, you could order one now and have it for yourself when you go on the road. Go over to voiceoveressentials.com. Best way to go over there, actually, is if you're on the VOBS.TV page, just go to the bottom, just look all the way down there, and you will see Harlan Hogan, and you'll see that picture of him talking into his Port-A-Booth. Click on that. That will take you right there to voiceoveressentials.com, where you can get everything you need for your voiceover home studio. That's voiceoveressentials.com. Thanks, Harlan, for being with us for 6 years. We love you, man.
Do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich. Okay.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
Shop. Our guest is Kay Bess, and we've got lots of questions from our vast audience from the four corners of the world. They are out there watching it live, and we love having you here, but let's get to some of those questions.
All right.
Go for it, George.
Number one, first one I saw came from Gerard McGuire, and his question is, do game auditions only come from LA agents? In your experience.
Well, since I am a Los Angeles talent with a Los Angeles agent, that's certainly my experience.
Exactly.
However, I think I think there's, you know, agencies in San Francisco for sure get gaming copy.
Yeah.
Certainly in New York.
Yeah.
I want to say it's possible Chicago, but honestly, I don't know. I would have to say that it's largely New York, L.A., and mm-hmm. San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I
think. Where the games are largely being produced.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever gotten on a plane to go do a job somewhere?
I have.
Oh, cool.
Not a video
game. They didn't
game.
Send a plane to you, did they?
A private jet?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get a private jet.
Darn it.
But I did get a first class ticket. That was
cool.
Awesome. Woo. Although the bummer about it was that the flight was so short that there was no first class. So I just got to sit sort of in the front of the plane, but it's like,
honorary.
Wait, what happened to my great seat?
It was an honorary first
yeah,
class.
Yeah,
that's
do I
right.
get a drink?
You don't even get a salad.
Yeah,
I mean, come
fair.
On now.
Yeah.
Question
yeah.
from Maxine.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any personal guidelines for what games you will or will not voice? Do you steer clear of anything with violence or explicit content?
Isn't it interesting? It's a little bit difficult because we don't get the entire script, right,
yeah.
When we're auditioning. And so it's difficult to know what you're auditioning for and whether or not, I mean, I think by and large, you can, I don't know. Sometimes you get a general synopsis of what the action is going to be. Video games are, my experience is the vast majority of them are violent,
yeah.
In some manner, you know,
mm-hmm.
I did pass on an animation audition last week because it was so gratuitous. I mean, it was like, I'm not sure that I would want my name associated with it, which is the first time that that's happened with
wow.
With an animated series. But it was like, wow, this is, and I'm like, so not a prude or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was almost surprised, but I was like, wow, I don't think I can do that.
There are lines. Everybody has
one. and I think you don't know until you approach it, until
yeah.
you see it and you go, wow, I'm not stepping over. You know,
yeah.
And so I don't have any hard and fast rule, except that if it doesn't sit well when I
read it. If it doesn't feel right.
If it doesn't feel right. And I think in that instance, it was just gratuitous that it had no point. Sometimes.
Well, here's something to belabor this.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever read for something, then got casted? Got in the studio, and then you started reading the lines and going, oh my gosh.
No,
like, really?
That has not happened.
That hasn't happened. Okay,
no,
good.
I'm
so they
fortunate.
Haven't pulled one all. They haven't like pulled one over on
no.
you where they
no.
sort of, you know, misrepresented the role you're auditioning
no,
for.
No, that has not happened to
oh,
me.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good agents.
I know.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
very
good
fortunate.
Agents.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's happened to me.
I'll tell you, if your agents know you too, that's really important. I think it's entirely possible that there are things that have come in that that they just know me and say,
they
yeah, she's not,
out,
she's not gonna, she's not gonna read for
right.
that. So that's entirely possible.
The importance of good representation.
Exactly.
Well, Jack Daniel's been sitting over there very patiently and comes here every week to help us out. So I'm actually going to let him ask his own question.
Great.
So
cool.
Fire up his mic and the audience cam.
All right.
Hey.
There he is, right over there.
Fantastic.
We'll talk about residuals later. So, Kay,
yes.
you said that in promo, you tend to more or less rip and read. Okay, more or less.
More or less.
But do you have a stable of characters that you use within the promo framework, you know, to draw on for different types of reads, different types of promo reads?
I don't think of them as being a stable of characters.
Okay.
I think of, I do think in acting terms. I think of who am I talking to? The urgency of the scene, what is it that I need to convey, and you know the types of reads are either they're authoritative, they're urgent. I often get, you know, the sexy promo reads, you know, those sorts of things, but I don't necessarily think of them as characters. They're me. They're all parts of me. And it just depends upon what the copy requires of which particular part of me it requires. So, does that make
yeah,
sense?
It does. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay. Good.
All righty. Michael Blaha asks, I know the biggest jobs are union jobs. Are you a member of the union?
I am.
Of course you're a member of the union. But aren't more video game gigs still non-union than union these days?
Oh, this is a really
touchy question.
Topic. Yeah. It's a topical topic.
go for it then.
The union is we're actually on strike at the moment. And so there have always been non-union games. I think there will always be non-union games. And right now we are, the union is working to secure a better contract, which the focus of which really is safety on the set. A lot of voice actors are doing motion capture and performance capture. And that's physical work. And so we want a stunt coordinator on set. We are also asking for shorter sessions for vocal stress work,
mm-hmm.
And then a different pay structure, which is tied to the sales of the game. So there certainly are games right now that are. What would have been union games that are being cast by non-union actors, which is unfortunate. I do think that eventually we will come to some agreement somewhere. Who knows what it will be or how long it will take us to get there. But I have confidence that that the union will keep its, you know, a strong foot in gaming, and that it's not all going to go non-union.
Yeah.
I mean. There's non-union work in every aspect of voiceover. Right. So, answer that question.
It does.
Okay.
Well, we can carry on with this a little bit, because you know we're concerned at in our organization, World Voices, which is the industry association for freelance voice talent, and we have union and non-union members.
Sure.
We don't want people, you know, we want people to at least be educated about. Who it is they're working for.
Yes.
And if they're, you know, if they see an audition or are offered a job within a video game that might be, it could be from one of the Struck signatories.
Sure, yeah.
Perhaps just ask your agent.
Sure, yes.
Or ask the actual client, you know, what company is this for? And
right.
They're going to go, oh, it doesn't want to be a scab or something like
right,
that.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
But I think it's important that people stand up for what is important
yes.
because it's such a growing part of the industry.
Yeah,
I would
absolutely.
Think that people really need to think about who it is they're working for.
And I think you have to, you know, if you really want to work in voiceover in a major city, you know, major cities will I think always be predominantly union. And so if that's the playing field that you want to be on, I think you have to think long term. I think you have to, you know, you have to have a long view about and if you think, "Oh, well, they're on strike. Nobody's going to see me, you know, I can take this job." It's short-term thinking, right?
Right.
And I just know as a, you know, a working class actor, I certainly am grateful to those people who won't step across the line and take work. And, you know, it really does help us. It really does matter to, our health benefits and pension, you know, I mean, I feel like I'm among the part of the last generation who will have a retirement, you know, but you can if you work union, you know, if you keep things in the union. And so I look at it as, you know, wanting to be grateful to those who support us, even if you're not in the union yet, you know, because if you want to be, it's just really important to have a long view and think long term about it.
Yep.
So
career length.
Yes.
Get career length. Absolutely. Yeah. Who knew? I didn't know 30 years ago that I would still be doing this. I mean, I've just kept working, and you look back and you go, wow, I've had a career. And you know what? I have retirement benefits that are going to be coming to me. And I mean, it's amazing, right? It's really extraordinary. So
makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, we are a technical show, and George, you had a question about technical stuff.
I must ask you to tell us about your home studio.
Oh, okay.
What do you got?
What you got going on?
What do I have?
What's your chain?
Wow, the pressure is
what's the chain?
Huge.
What's your front end? Front end or back end processing? You use an LDC or an SDC? No. What do you like to do?
I have a Sennheiser 416, mm-hmm. And I actually have another borrowed 416 from Townsend Coleman.
Yay.
God bless him.
What a great guy.
He let me borrow his mic so I could do my podcast on two 416s, which is really awesome. So I use an Apogee Duet, mm-hmm. In a MacBook Pro. I have a PreSonus headphone thingy.
HP 4.
It's got a really technical
blue knobs on
headphone
it.
Thingy. Yeah, that allows, you know, my guests to have their own controls and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What kind of space do you record in?
We have this it's like half a garage that was built out. We rent this house in South mm-hmm. Pasadena, and it's a lovely space. My husband is a drummer. So on one half of the studio are his drums, and on my half is an old, it used to be our kitchen table, right? But it was elevated. It's like a bar, like a rectangular kind of bar thing. And so that's my table for my podcast, and it's where I record my auditions and stuff too.
Yeah.
And Townsend came over. And he drilled holes in my table and attached these fantastic, you know, swing arms. So that is now permanently. It's no longer a kitchen table. It will never be that again.
That's great.
And I use Twisted Wave.
Yeah.
But I was fascinated by your Adobe Audition.
What do you record the podcast on?
I recorded in Twisted Wave.
So you have two microphones uh-huh. going to two channels.
Yes.
And then, but you're recording one single mono file.
Correct.
With both mics coming in.
Yeah. I mean, it's I add a channel.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And then I can edit both, and I do edit.
Yeah.
And then I convert it to mono.
Oh, gotcha. That's the trick.
After.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I add another channel again, and I put my intro.
Wow.
On that channel and my out on that, and then I convert it to mono one more time, and then I run it through Ophonic.
That sounds like the Bo Weaver School of how to produce a podcast using Twisted Wave.
Is that really? I made it up.
You're basically shoehorning a function into the program that it was never designed
never designed to do.
Yeah. I mean, it works, but if you were to learn. There are better tools for that.
Oh,
that once you learn them, you'll
have to bring you over.
That's so much easier. We can teach you.
Can you help me?
Yeah, we know how to do
help.
That.
I'm so thrilled, though. I mean, once
no,
I run it through,
the fact
through
that you're doing
Ophonic
it.
Is like, oh, well, it sounds really good.
Ophonic is pretty freaking cool.
It's great.
For people who don't know what Ophonic is, it's an online service where you.
I have a software.
Oh, you actually can download the program.
This, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be only online, and then they made an app.
Yeah.
But it's just like this automated smart mastering software.
Right.
Where you just put put your audio in, set a few parameters, and then it pops out the file.
Exactly.
Process.
And everything is, you know, if I'm speaking quietly and another person is speaking loudly, it all just auto levels. And so it's great. Mm-hmm. It's really great.
Yeah.
Great for when you're doing a broadcast stuff, but for straight voiceover. Yeah, you don't want all that processing in there.
No,
front
no, no. Right. I mean,
I just don't want to give you guys the wrong idea.
No, this is podcasting.
I'm not podcasting.
Podcasting. And so when I record, I just record a mono file into Twisted Wave, and mm-hmm. you know, and I have no effects. I have nothing. I mean,
good for you.
I truly just send it off.
Yeah, if you have a great sounding, clean studio, you can.
That's everything.
You don't have to do a whole lot to it.
Yeah.
So how do you keep your husband's drums from bleeding into your voice?
I lock him in the basement.
Just there you go.
We're not. It's so funny. One time I did. I was doing some editing. Right. I was sitting at my little table, and he came in and he needed to rehearse some stuff. And he's got little
digital drums?
Rubber things on his drums.
Oh yeah, pads. Yeah.
Pads.
Yeah.
He said, "Do you mind if I?" And I go, "No, it's okay. I think I got my headphones on." So,
how did that work out?
It didn't. It's like 30 seconds in, I'm like, I'm out. I'll go in the house. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Compared to regular drums, they're not that loud, but I'll tell you, when in the vacuum of studio, it's pretty loud.
For sure.
Okay, we got time for one more question here from D-Vox, who always has a question. every single week because he's a thinking guy. What's the most interesting insight you've discovered in the past year regarding voiceover performance or this business? Her eyes just rolled to the back of her head.
He asked the hard ones.
The biggest thing I would say, and this is coming from someone who's done this for 30 years,
yeah,
is that the reins of my career really are in my hands. That we often rely upon, or I did, I just will just speak for myself. I had this mentality of my agent is responsible for my career. And so if things aren't going well, I better find a new agent, or, you know, that kind of mentality, which I think is a really common one among actors. And I just, through the course of doing games and my desire to do more games and my desire to have the games that I'm in seen, you know, and it truly is like something in me. It truly is a desire. Like, it's up to me to promote it. It's up to me to do it. And I'm responsible. And I think that's probably the biggest epiphany that I've had. And I feel like I'm getting to that epiphany a little late, but, you know, better late than never.
Well, it was working for you, but the times change, and you've got to learn to market yourself and find new venues and new avenues for your career.
And I think in gaming, for sure, the millions and millions of people who play games and who know your characters, it's funny, your character in a video game is a big deal if you decide to make it a big deal. You know, had I known what kind of character Anna was in Rise of the Tomb Raider, I could really have promoted that much more and probably parlayed it into more work sooner,
mm-hmm,
right? Because I didn't know, and it was sort of like, well, if it's a big character, then the game itself, the game makers are going to promote it. No, they're promoting the game.
Right.
You know, and if I want to promote my skills as a voice actor and my participation in this game, that's up to me, you know? So, the reins are in each of our hands.
Good to know. Well, yeah. K-Best. Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Having you on our show tonight.
It was so fun. It went so fast.
It does. It's amazing. It's like 6 o'clock and boom, it's time to go. But
yeah,
we're not ready to go quite yet. But thank you for coming with us.
Thank you.
On our show tonight. And George and I will be right back to clean all this mess up right after this.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records. And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running. And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. And the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
We lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AntlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream.
You know, if you're looking for the very best, most comprehensive voiceover training, it's at VO2GoGo.com, where you're trained personally and individually by David H. Lawrence XVII to create a successful and profitable voiceover practice. But if you go to VO2GoGo.com right now, you're going to be temporarily disappointed. Why? Because for the first time in 11 years, David's raised the monthly subscription fee for his VO2GoGo Pro classes and workouts. Since 2006, it was $200 a month. But today, Pro is $250 a month. And the Pro Plus monthly subscription, which adds 3 produced VO demos to your training package, went up from $400 to $450.
The nerve!
No warning! He just did it! I mean, that's still an amazing bargain for what you get in either Pro or Pro Plus, but ouch, right? But guess what? We, George and I, have complained loudly on your behalf. We beat him into submission.
Not going to take it!
How dare you raise the rates and not warn people? Well, you know, he listened and folded like a cheap copy stand. So David agreed to you, VOBS viewers, for just $200 a month for Pro and $400 a month for Pro Plus. VO2GoGo.com or choose, you just all you have to do is go to the coupon code of VOBS and it'll save you up to $600 over their regular prices. Of course, you can save that now if you go to Pro Complete, but that's only for really dedicated talent who want to unlock the entire 36 class course through all at once, and then you'll get started all that much faster. This offer is only good for a limited time. If you've decided you want to up your game in voiceover, go to VO2GoGo.com to get the training you need. Create a successful, satisfying, and profitable voiceover practice. Visit VO2GoGo.com/VOBS, and it'll save you $600. Thanks to David H. Lawrence for sponsoring our show and for cutting his prices just for us.
Okay.
This is John Bailey, the Epic Voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland.
There's one guy in Newfoundland that watches the show. That would...
All right, and we're back.
You know what we forgot to do?
We forgot
to find out exactly how to find Kay's podcast.
So, Kay?
Yes.
Take it away.
Plug away.
All right, so... hi. So you can find my podcast, The Beehive Podcast, Women in Voiceover, on iTunes. That's probably the easiest place to find it. And it's Beehive, B, the letter B, dash hive, just so you know. And then you can also find it at thebeehivepodcast.com.
Fantastic.
Like that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Subscribing.
Please.
All right.
Please do.
Another podcast for you to listen to.
I have a lot in my feed, but I'm discerning.
That's good.
That's good.
I listen to it for a while, and if it doesn't grab me, it floats down the list.
All righty. Well, next week on this very show, if you tune in at the same time, same bat channel, July 24th, John Keeney and Randy Brown of Vizzy Demos will be here. And they've been actually working on a Vizzy demo for me.
No way.
And we're going to talk about the process of how they make it and why you want to consider doing a video demo for your demos.
They're going to be here on Zoom, right?
John is actually flying in from San Francisco.
Oh, my God.
Which means I got to pick him up at LAX, and hopefully we'll be back
here
on time.
Oh, he's well. He's flying in, and I'm flying. Yeah. I'm going to miss it.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Man. I'm going to be on the show, but I'll be remote.
Right. So. But it'll still
great.
Be perfect. Yes. Yeah, so
cool.
He's coming in and we're going to talk about
sorry,
that.
John.
Yeah. July 31st, Sarah Jane Sherman, formerly at Disney, now head of casting at Free Range Animation.
Sweet.
Glad to see she landed on her feet.
So nice of her to come back to the show
yes.
after a
well, yeah. We won't talk about it. Yep. Yep. On August 7th, Karen Saltis will be talking about her mobile studio,
oh,
which
that's
is
awesome.
Which is in a what is it, an Airstream or what?
She built it into a small trailer. But, you know, I saw an interview with her from Source Elements uh-huh. from a year ago on their blog. And I listened to the interview and I thought, we got to have her on. This is totally up my alley and your alley. Just making things work and going out and doing something. Kind of crazy.
Right.
Like we do here every single Monday night, making this happen.
Right. You know, yeah. I mean, yeah, you'd look into a trailer. How could you do this in here? And that's what she did. And
exactly.
And we'll see what her process was about. Something you might be able to learn about doing in your own trailer, if you happen to have one.
Mm-hmm.
Which will, you know, if she did trailers, she'd be doing trailers in a trailer.
Yes. I'm sure we could triple up on that one.
I know.
If we think hard enough.
Yeah. Who are our donors of the week?
Donations. Mm-hmm. We need a little theme song for the donations, don't we?
Yeah.
We need a little something.
I'm still waiting for Cliff to redo the guitar riff on our theme. Maybe
come on, Cliff.
Yeah, come on now.
Aren't you guys tired of hearing that thing? we got a nice one from Pat, probably because I stuck his face on our microphone.
Yeah.
Is that in the frame?
No, just
hey, wait.
Lower that just a little bit.
Pat's face is on our microphone. Pat Sweeney, right there. Now you can see it. Da da. Pat Sweeney, thank you for your donation, man. We really appreciate it. Other donations came in from.
See, and you get your picture on there.
Just... That's what you get for donating to our show. There's only room for so many stickers. It's not a NASCAR. Yeah.
Who says?
Exactly. We've got a subscriber from a subscription. He donates every month. That's Michael Martin. Thank you, Michael. Eric Aragoni donates pretty much every single show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Eric. We really appreciate
really
it.
So kind of you. More donations coming from Andrew Kaufman. He's also a subscriber. Thank you so much. Sarah Borges. I believe that's the right way to say her last name. Thank you, Sarah. And what else do we have coming in? We've got another one that came in from Antland Productions.
Thanks, you know, Uncle Roy.
Always a way to slip in one more mention. I'm just convinced he doesn't know how to cancel his PayPal subscription. That's why he keeps coming in. I'm not going to tell him either.
Okay, all right.
That's our donations for since our last episode.
All righty. Our intro tonight was by the amazing John Taylor. And
it was.
I swear we're going to do a new intro soon. When you get back from Colorado, we're going to plan it out. We're going to create a whole new intro for the show.
It's a lot of work, and with everything else going on, we haven't been able to squeeze
that's
it in.
That's really true.
The bottom line is we're still doing our show without it, so we're okay.
That's fine.
We're surviving.
But people are used to it. All right. What's going on over at Edge Fruit? What are you doing with Edge?
I don't know. I'm looking at it here right now. The coolest thing is the fact that there's a button at the top of my website that says Get George. I think that is cool.
Get George.
Get George in orange. No, we've reorganized the website, and now there's a section on the site just called Pro Services. So if you go to edgestudiotechnology.com, every service that we provide is in one place under Pro Services, and you can scroll through there. All the personalized scheduled assistance stuff is on the left, and on the right side, if you look under Popular Services, I've got a huge range of different things that you can choose, and one of my favorites is microphone selection. So if you've got a whole lot of microphones, or maybe you're demoing a bunch from
what's the best microphone for voiceover?
What's the best? You want to know what's the best microphone that you have for your voiceover. If you need someone to guide you through that, check out my microphone selection service that we recently added to the website. And I'll review up to 6 different microphones and give you my ranking and let you know what it is that make the top mic the top mic.
Very
you know?
Cool.
So hopefully that'll help you narrow it down and end up with the cheap. May the cheapest mic win.
The cheapest, but the best.
Yes, exactly.
All righty. You know, Kay Best gave us some great stuff tonight.
Yes.
Stuff to think about. If you want to find out if you missed the show, you know, how are you hearing me say this? If you're watching the replay, the show logs are there, and Jack DeGoli is out there every week writing down every word that is said on this show.
Super cool.
And giving you a good access to where things are and helping to find out. We
Here's
appreciate
a power
that,
Jack. User thing. If what? You're on, Jack does a nice job. He does it's a summary of the notes. It's
right.
Not every word. But if you really, really want to see every word on YouTube, it automatically transcribes the show and gives you closed captioning.
Wow.
So when you're on YouTube, you can click the closed caption in the lower corner, and it will overlay what's being said right onto the show.
Yeah.
So if that helps you understand what we're talking about, give it a shot.
Absolutely. You know, and just like KBS has a podcast, so do we. We do a podcast version of this show every week, and you can find that on Stitcher Radio, Podbean.
iTunes,
and wherever fine podcasts are found.
And if you are listening to the show, but you'd rather be here live one week, then we're on 6 o'clock Monday night Pacific time. And VOBS.TV, where you can interact and talk in the chat room
right.
with the
and if
viewers.
If you're in the greater Los Angeles area and you would like to be in our vast studio audience here in this massive auditorium we have, that Jack is filling up, and Ari.
Must like dog.
Yes, you have to like Ari. You know, Tinky doesn't come in here unless Marcy comes in here. But if you want to be on the show, all you have to do is write to us at theguys@VOBS.TV. And we'll be happy to accommodate you. Just got to be here at 5:30.
Pull you up a chair.
You're right, exactly. What are some of the other things? Of course, with...
thanking the sponsors?
Well, we're going to thank the sponsors.
Okay.
But there are other things. If you have a technical question, you can also write to that address, theguys@vobs.tv.
Yes, we do love getting your questions, very, very much so.
Yes.
Send them in.
Okay. We do need to thank our sponsors, because Absolutely. Without them, how could we do it? Vizzy Video Demos.
Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo and Rehearsal App, and all the other stuff that David H. Lawrence does.
Antland's Killer Demos.
And our new sponsors, the VO Dojo and VoiceOver View, for providing this uninterrupted live stream right to you. That's really cool. We appreciate that. Also, thanks to Marcy for letting us be back here every week.
In the garage.
Our producer, Catherine Currendon, for booking fabulous guests like K-Bess. We got a couple of surprises coming up, probably in August. Some great people are going to be on the show.
Jack Daniel for doing our chat room tonight. Mod.
Appreciate that. And our amazing floor producer, Andrew Bushwitz, who did just yeoman service tonight.
He did a fantastic job. Andrew. He's really coming into his own.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, and of course, Jack DeGolia for the show notes, and Lee Penny simply for being Lee Penny. All right. You know, I forgot to tell everybody, we've got a new animation from Jacob.
Nice.
Yes, it's Plantsy's World 5. By far the best one we've done, and a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that right after the show. So that'll be right on right after we sign off here. So that's going to do it for us tonight. Hey, we know this is not an easy business. You got to work hard at it. You got to study. You got to make it happen. Keep doing that. Take the classes. Get good coaching. But just do what you got to do to make it happen and
stick to it.
And if you got a technical question, you know where to come. That's going to do it for us tonight. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop
or VOBS. Have a great week, everybody. Stay tuned for Plantsy 5.
On the Canary Islands.
Yeah. I grew up and I lived my.
They are ribbed for her pleasure.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
Having dinner tonight?
Hi, everyone. I'm
Plantsy, and I'm Flower, and you're an idiot.
We're on our way to the beach.
Walk faster! I need my sunlight!
Oh no! A fork in the road! Which way should we go?
Left.
Should we take the left path?
Yes.
Or the right path?
Left. What the hell is that thing? Get away! Get away! Shoot!
You broke the pointer! How are we supposed to know where to go?
Go left!
I need our friends to help.
I'm your friend, aren't I?
Yeah?
Well, go left! Are you blind? Left!
Hey, look! It's Shifty the Vulture! Maybe he can help us!
No!
Hey, Shifty! Which way should we go?
Right.
Okay, thanks, Shifty.
My pleasure. Great, we're gonna die and become vulture food.
Doesn't look like the beach at all.
You should have gone left, you moron.
Well, let's keep going. We're going to the beach and we're gonna play with sand and we're gonna feed the seagulls all day.
Yay! What are we gonna do?
Hey, it's the beach. We did take the right path.
Oh, I do so love helping. Wait. Then what was the other path?
Oh, boy, the beach.